Hey everybody, this is Pierre Quinn and you're listening to the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, episode number 24, we're going to talk about some of our deepest hurts, how I ended up flat in Philly, why the bulletin board is not dead, and why the process for resolution isn't quick. So, listen up. I'm happy to be at episode number 24 of this podcast, and I appreciate all of you who have been supporting me on this journey. Those of you who have left reviews on iTunes, who have shared podcast episodes on social media, who've been just really proponents and ambassadors of what I'm doing in this leadership space, I really, really appreciate you. I also appreciate the hundreds of you who are waiting. You were waiting till today to post that review on iTunes. Hey, thanks for waiting for the right moment. And I'm happy that this is your moment to go on iTunes and leave me a review and some comments on how this podcast has been a benefit to you. Several years ago, man, I'm trying to go back. I want to say maybe 25 years ago, I had the unfortunate experience of being bitten by a dog. I was up the street from my grandmother's house playing outside, and the neighbor, we were good friends with the neighbor's kids. We hung out a lot, played basketball, played games. And it was good hanging around them on this during this time where my grandmother lived on this side of town. But they had a dog. I believe it was a German Shepherd. And one day the dog got free and the dog sunk its teeth into my leg. And yeah, stitches. And just one of those childhood experiences that you will never forget. Well, on top of having the physical scar, which is fading, I forget even which leg it happened on. This physical scar that's fading, I do have a bit of an emotional scar. And this emotional scar makes it difficult for me. Sometimes when I'm around dogs, somewhere in the back of my mind, there's this flashback that maybe this dog will be hostile. Now, for the most part, you know, I get through it. For the most part, I'm okay. For the most part, I have friends with pets, with dogs, and it's fine. And I hang out around the dog fine. And everything's fine. But every now and then, this discomfort creeps up in the back of my mind. And I was thinking about, in preparation for this podcast, how all of us have a story like that. Maybe it's not a dog bite. Maybe it's not an unfortunate experience like that where you were bitten by a dog and you had to get stitches and you've been hesitant around dogs ever since. But many of us, if not all of us, especially those who occupy a leadership position and who are in the leadership space, you have a wound. You have a deep hurt that you're trying to compensate for. I'll say it again. You have a deep hurt. You have a deep wound that you're trying to compensate for. In the world of psychology, one of the most common ones is known as the father wound. When you haven't had your dad in your life, or he was in your life, but he wasn't consistent, he wasn't a good example of what it meant to be a father, that experience makes it difficult for you to have relationships with other males, to have good friendships, to trust people. If you come from a religious context, it makes it difficult in that space as well, because you're trying to compensate for this father wound, for this hurt that comes out of the relationship that you had or you didn't have with your dad. And all of us are wrestling with that. Just think about why you do what you do. Think about the why behind it. Why your attitude is a certain way. why your disposition is a certain way. Why do you respond and react to people the way that you do? And sometimes, if you're honest, it's because you're trying to compensate for something. You're trying to cover a lack of something that you experience. Maybe in high school, middle school and high school, you were bullied. People talked about you. And you know, in school, we talk about anything and everything. The length of your hair, the shape of your head, your skin color. We talk about the shoes that you wear, your clothes, if they're name brand or not. Just anything, everything, the sound of your voice, the color of your book bag, anything. And what we overlook many times is people are picking on us or being bullies, or if you were in a position where you were a bully or you were picking on other people. You do that because you're trying to put others down in order to lift yourself up, to lift yourself up, to boost yourself up. So yeah, and a lot of times people who are doing the bullying are trying to recover from a wound of their own. So where is yours? Where is yours? What's the source of your deep hurt? What's the source of your deep wound? And what are you doing to compensate for that? And how is your current methodology for compensating for your deepest hurts and your deepest wounds impacting your ability to lead? Are you trying to force people to give you the love and attention and respect that you didn't get as a kid? Are you trying to overcompensate for some things that happened in your family and it's really impacting the way that you lead your teams and that you guide your organization? Because one of the most difficult aspects of leadership, and I'll be talking about this with my church leadership team this upcoming weekend. One of the most difficult aspects of leadership is helping your people get along. In the church that I'm working at, I would say 90-95% of our challenges as a volunteer leadership team at our church are interpersonal, because the team we have, smart people, capable people, great people, resourceful, connected, life experience, all of that. But when you get people in a room and personalities clash and experiences and life stories and who said what and years ago or last week or who looked at me or whatever, it can sometimes be a nightmare. So we're going to work on, during our leadership retreat, we're going to work on what we need to do to get along, not just cope, not just be tolerant of other people, but to get along. I was talking to a person in charge of communication and ministry growth, and they echoed the same thing. They said some of the biggest challenges that they have when they go and talk to other churches and train at other churches are not a lack of resources. I know we're all clamoring for resources, but they really struggle with helping people get along to get the work done. So that's what we're going to be working on this weekend. So if you're a member of our volunteer leadership team at our church and you're listening to this, surprise, that's what we're going to talk about. How our relationships affect the climate of our organization and how our ability or inability to get along really compromises the mission. So we're looking forward to a great leadership retreat around that. Well, I had the opportunity to go to speak in Philadelphia. I spoke at a church this past weekend and rented a car, traveled up to Philadelphia, about a 2-hour drive away from where I live in Maryland. And I was about maybe 5 minutes from the church. 5 minutes from the church. And if you've ever been in major cities like Philly, like New York, you know, when you go to some of these places and you're going down some of these side streets, cars are parked on both sides and the streets are narrow. Now, I was driving a small car. I was driving a compact car. About 5 minutes away from the church, and I'm doing a fairly good job, at least in my opinion, I'm doing a fairly good job at navigating the potholes that are in the road. Now, I'm unfamiliar with the area, and if you're not familiar with a specific area, sometimes you don't know the potholes, you don't know the dangers that you're supposed to avoid. If you're from the area, it's like the back of your hand. You don't even think about it, because you know, today when you drive, most of the time when you drive, you don't think about it. It just clicks. It's automatic. You know what to do. Well, I'm not from Philly. This is my first time to this particular church. And I tried to avoid this pothole 5 minutes away from the church, and the pothole got me. And I thought everything was okay. The pothole got me, but I'm good. And I make my way to the church. We park the car. And as we're sitting inside the church, one of the individuals on the leadership team at the church says to me, you know you have a flat, right? You know you got a flat. Now, I didn't know I had a flat. And I'm thinking in my mind, what am I going to do about this flat? It's a few minutes before I have to go up and speak at the church. How am I going to do this at the same time? And one of the individuals at the church said to me, well, give me your keys. I'm going to call your rental car company, and I'm going to begin to process whatever needs to be processed for you to, you know, get back on the road at the end of the day. Now, here's a common mistake that we make as leaders. Here's a common mistake. The worst thing for me to say at that moment would have been, oh, it's no problem. I got it covered. It's no problem. I got it covered. So not only did this individual who was looking to help me, and shouts out to Miss Braswell at the North Philadelphia SDA Church for helping me out. Not only did this person have the time to help, they have the expertise in troubleshooting just stuff and problems. So she got my keys, called the rental car company, make sure everything was coordinated, got the tow truck, all of that, worked that out which allowed me the freedom and the space and the relief so I could think about and have the clear head to do the job that I was called there to do. One of the biggest mistakes we make as leaders when we hit flat spots and recognize that some flats are unavoidable. I'll say it again. Some flats are unavoidable. Some mistakes in leadership are unavoidable. You didn't have the information. You didn't have the resources. You hit a mistake. Your tire was punctured. You got flat. Some clashes are unavoidable. For effective leaders focus on, okay, how do I recover now that I've had the flat? How do I recover now that we're in the unfortunate space where things are not running smoothly as they have been running? How do I recover? And one of the biggest things that you can do to recover is to look around to see who's on your team and who's available that can help you through. Admit when it was your fault. Listen, I didn't miss the pothole. That was on me. I didn't miss the pothole. I hit that pothole, and the cause for the flat is on me. Now, I can blame Philly roads. I can blame that street where I had cars parked on both sides. I can blame the rental car company for putting cheap tires on the car. Whatever. You can come up with any excuse, but the pothole, hitting the pothole was on me. Now that I've admitted it's my fault, I need to be able to look around and say, hey, I need some help. And at the moment where I needed help, there was somebody who was willing to step in and help me. Now I have to be humble and flexible enough to trust, hey, they can help me so I can focus on the thing that I need to focus on in the moment. The car was an urgency, but the car was not an emergency. I'll say it again. The car was an urgency, but it wasn't an emergency at the time. At the time, my focus was on the presentation that I was getting ready to make. It was on the sermon that I was getting ready to preach. Now, after that, when it's time to go home, now the car becomes, it raises in priority, but there was someone who was there, and I had to be willing to be humble enough to say, I accept your help, and I trust that you can help me through this. Because flats are unavoidable. Think about your life and your leadership. Think about a project that you're working on. Think about the organization you're connected to. And maybe some of us are in a flat spot right now. We're in a flat spot either because of something that we did that we could not avoid. Like, boom, you hit a nail, you hit a rock, you hit a pothole. It was your fault. You couldn't avoid it. But sometimes we hit flats because of things that are not our fault. You're driving down the road and you don't even see the nail in the road. You don't even see the glass on the road. You're driving down the road, or the tire was bad, and that happens sometimes. You're driving down the road and you run over something that you had no clue was there, and you get a flat. How do you recover? You recover by being humble enough to accept the help. Now, how can you accept the help that you need on the project that you're working on? How can you accept the help that you need in your organization as you're leading your team? How can you accept the help? And I'm pretty sure that some people who are stuck beside the road, they're stuck because instead of asking for help, they just decided to leave the car there and walk away. They decided just to leave the car where it was and walk away instead of being humble enough. And listen, when you're stuck on the road, I've been there. It is humiliating. Everybody's passing you by. You don't like that feeling. And sometimes it feels like it's just easier to walk away. But even though it may be easier in the moment to walk away, in the long run, it's going to catch up with you. So how do you ask for help? When you hit that flat, think about that. Write this down. If you're in a flat spot or you may hit a flat spot, because flats are unavoidable, who can help you recover? Who is the best person right now to help you recover and get back on track? I took a pit stop the other day at Starbucks, and I'm not a Starbucks guy. I'm not a Starbucks guy at all. Like I'll go and I'll get like a tea or I'll get a smoothie or I'll get a pastry, but not a coffee drinker. That's not my thing. But I love the Starbucks space and the Starbucks atmosphere. I love that Starbucks is hyper selective and hyper focused about what they sell, but they sell it to anybody. They're hyper focused about what they do, but they make what they do available to everybody, to anybody and everybody. And that's a model for us as leaders. If you're narrow, if you're niched, if your organization only offers 1, 2, 3, 10 things, be hyper selective about what you offer, but offer it to everybody. And if you go to Starbucks, especially if you're in a mall with the Starbucks, you'll see people of all shapes and sizes and colors and socioeconomic status carrying Starbucks because Starbucks makes what they have open, even though it's hyper-focused and narrow to some extent. And you can nuance it and you can vary it. And if you listen to people who make Starbucks orders, it's crazy and complicated. It's a language and culture of its own. But what they do have, they make it available to everyone. Well, I spotted a bulletin board at Starbucks at a mall maybe 6 months ago, and I spotted one in Starbucks yesterday. And then today when I was at a grocery store, a local non-chain grocery store, I spotted another bulletin board. And I noticed that even though we live in a highly digital world, there's still space for non-digital things to have impact. And this is the case with a bulletin board. So back when I was in high school, you know, many, 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 many moons ago, we had something called a warm fuzzy board. It was called a warm fuzzy board. Not only was it the warm fuzzy board, it was the email board. Because when I was in high school, even though you could have an email account, your emails were monitored by the faculty and staff of the school. And if you wanted to print out an email, or if you wanted to read an email, they would print it out and put it on this board with your name on it. You know, low security, because anybody could just pull your message down and read it. But on this same bulletin board, you could write notes to your friends. People would stick birthday cards. People would stick jokes up there and notices, announcements, because the bulletin board in our computer lab at school was a community place where people would come to get information, to get messages, to hang out, to interact, to write a note for a friend. And it became this place that everybody was drawn to. And you would think in a super digital world that we would get away from places like that, that we would get away from spaces like that. But inside of Starbucks was this bulletin board with community announcements on it and opportunities to get involved with certain things. This was the Starbucks at the mall, and it was covered, and it was even covered. It even had little notes that people had written to their friends that they know frequented Starbucks. And it reminded me of my high school experience. The Starbucks that I went to yesterday didn't have as many notes on it, but it did have a chalkboard. You could write messages, and it had a couple of community announcements. And at the grocery store that I went to today, there were tons and tons of job announcements, houses for rent, this community space for connection and information. And as you're leading your organization, where can you create this space for connection and for information? And maybe you need to try a non-digital way of doing that. Maybe you need to bring back the old bulletin board, the old dry erase board, the place where you can put notes and you can put advertisements, because for some reason people are drawn to those things. And I know we have social media, we have digital communities, we have email exchanges and listservs. And I know they still do listservs. We still have all of these digital functions for communication, but people still value handwritten notes. They still value notes on a board. They still value being able to come by and take off of one of those little tabs. Before, the tab was a number. So if you had a place for rent or if you had a job, you remember you would put the announcement up and then you would cut those little slits in the paper and people would take off one of the slits. Is it a slit? I don't know what you call it. A little tab. Maybe you cut tabs. They would take it off and you would cut and call the number. Well, now it's not as much numbers as it is websites. And you break it off and it's a website you go to. But the function is still pretty much the same. So in your organization, in your business, in your space, even in your church, how can you have a place where places for connection and information? Now, here's the thing. To make it really work, it has to be a place where it's not heavily guarded, where you can monitor it. You can be selective about what's there, but don't heavily guard it. So there's only one person putting up announcements, only one person in control. What makes the space for connection and information work is that people have equal access to it. And of course, you're going to get some hokey stuff that you got to take away and you got to monitor and tell people we don't post stuff like this. But letting people have the freedom of expression, freedom of connection, and freedom to information. Because the bulletin board, I'm telling you, I saw it in Starbucks. And if you know if it's in Starbucks, right, it's trendy, right? The bulletin board is not dead. It's not dead. And how can you use this old school method of communication and interaction to bring some life and some community to the places in which you work, serve, and live? So I've been hit, y'all. I've had the unfortunate experience. Did I say that like I was from the South? I've had the unfortunate experience of being a victim of the whole fraud experience. Somebody got one of my debit cards and they charged some vitamin supplements and a transaction from Australia. So I called PayPal, had a conversation with the resolution department in PayPal. I called my bank and had a conversation with the fraud and resolution department at my bank. And I'm thinking that they're just going to handle this thing quick. And I'll make the phone call. There'll be two clicks and boom, boom, it'll be done. But no, my bank said, we're going to send you something old school, right? We're going to send you something in the mail. We need you to sign it and fax it back to us. And PayPal said it's going to take 3 or 4 days. We got to process and go back and forth. And this thing is not my fault. I don't know how they got the information, my banking information, my bank card information. It's not my fault. And I want it to be resolved quickly. I want them to go on their fancy computer and make 2 or 3 clicks and say, Mr. Quinn, it's resolved. We put everything back the way it was supposed to be. We increased the security on your accounts and everything is great. But no, I have to go through these conversations, the waiting on the phone, the recording, the verifying of my email, of my information to make sure I am who I say I am. I have to wait in the mail for the new cards to come in the mail. I have to wait to get the information, to verify it, to sign it, to fax it back. Well, I'm going to scan it and use my e-fax, but to fax it back, it's the process for resolution should be much faster than that. It should just be much quicker. It should be two, three clicks and it should be done. But I overlook the fact that it's not just me who's been inconvenienced. Now PayPal and now my bank are going through their systems and their processes and trying to figure out how on our end can we keep this from happening again. And my case for resolution ends up becoming a case study. It ends up becoming an investigation, not just into my accounts and my purchasing habits, but also into the practices and systems of PayPal and my bank. And because of that, because of this investigation and tracking and double checking, that means that the resolution to my issue won't come quickly. It won't happen as fast as I want it to happen. And that happens to us a lot. We have something that happens in our organization that is unfortunate. Maybe like we were talking about earlier in the podcast, you fall out with someone, you have an argument, you have a disagreement, a project flops, you don't get the budget, you don't get the funding, and you want it to be resolved quickly. You want people just to get over it. You want people to get out of their feelings. You want people to be excited again about going back to work. You just want things to happen quickly, but resolutions don't happen quickly because the issue that needs to be resolved did not happen in a vacuum. It's not just one person or two people who've been affected. It's usually groups of individuals who've been impacted. And to get to the end of those things, to process feelings, to regain trust, to get people back on board, to reclaim the sense of vision and direction takes some time. And you got to be willing as a leader to go through the process and go through the time it takes to achieve resolution. And it's uncomfortable, and it may take repeating yourself three or four times. It may take several conversations. It may take several explanations. But in order to get things resolved properly, you're going to have to put it all in there. In order to get it resolved properly, in order to get things back in working order, and then put yourself, your team, and your organization in a position where this doesn't happen again, it's going to take a while to work through the process of resolution. So hopefully if I remember, I'll keep you up to date on the process and what I learned along the way from my personal life and my sphere of influence as a leader. But man, you know, they're telling me they're going to freeze the account and setting up new accounts and going through this whole process. It's not quick, but hopefully, prayerfully, it'll be resolved in good time. But it's probably going to take longer than I want. It's probably going to take longer than I think. And that's the nature of resolutions. Hey, everybody, that's all I got for this episode of the Leading While Green podcast, where it's my mission, it's my honor, it's my joy, it's my privilege to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. Now, to help me do that, I need you. To get that done, I need your help. I need the reviews on iTunes. So go to iTunes, and you can even do it from your computer. You don't have to do it from your phone. And look up the Leading While Green podcast. Leave me a 5-star review with some comments. Like and share this thing on social media. Facebook algorithms are changing. So we need you. I need you to share this. Take this message of effective leadership around the world so that we can help more people. Hey, I know we're almost in February, and maybe you haven't done a good job of planning your year. And if you haven't, check out my 2018 Leaders New Year Action Guide. That's available on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and type in Pierre Quinn, and you'll see all the books that I wrote, and you can get your copy. Amazon Prime, you'll get it in 2 days to help you plan your year right. It's not too late. You still got plenty of year left. So I wish you all the best as you continue to lead. And until next time, take care and God bless.